This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bites with me, Angeline Tay, and Arvind Yuvaraj. Happy International Women's Day.
Yeah, happy International Women's Day. It's the 8th of March. And if you, like us, were wondering today, how did this day come about, or when the world started acknowledging IWD? That's what it's called. That's what the hip kids call it. We have the answers for you.
Yeah, so for the first time, it was observed back in the year 1908. About 15,000 women marched through New York City demanding shorter hours, better pay, and the right to vote. This, however, happened on the February 28th and not March 8th.
Mm-hmm. And on the same day following, on the following year in 1909, women staged another demonstration, this time with the blessing of the Socialist Party of America. They continued to do this on the last Sunday of February each year until 1913.
Yeah, and since European women were staging their own demonstration at different times throughout this same period, a consensus was reached in 1913 to observe IWD on March 8th. It's the day women around the world have observed ever since.
Yeah, and if you're wondering why March, well, the chosen date commemorates the Women's March in Petrograd, Russia, that sparked the Russian Revolution in 1917. And yes, that's worth restating. Women's demands for equality sparked one of the most significant events in modern European history. And you know what? In Russia, women typically receive flowers and chocolates from their significant others on IWD. So it's like Valentine's Day, kind of.
Yeah, so that's a little bit of Did You Know on Biz Bites today. And now on to our stories of the day. We kick things off with a story on women in business in Malaysia.
Yeah, and unfortunately, it's not really good news. Grant Thornton released a report just a couple of days ago and revealed that Malaysia has the lowest proportion of senior business roles held by women in ASEAN.
Yeah, this is an annual survey of over 5,000 businesses in 36 economies. Within ASEAN, Indonesia has the highest proportion of senior business roles held by women with 46%, and followed by Philippines, Thailand, and Singapore. Malaysia, however, stands at 24%.
And globally, 25% of senior roles are held by women, and that's the highest level since this survey started 13 years ago in 2004. But the proportion of business with no women in senior management role increased at 36%.
And just now, we highlighted that Indonesia has the highest proportion within ASEAN at 46%. They actually ranked number 2 globally after Russia, followed by Estonia, Poland, Philippines. The irony is that countries we often talk about, like, you know, UK or Brazil, etc., they actually have the lower proportion, or lowest, in fact, of senior roles held by women.
For example, Japan with the lowest at 7%, no surprise there. And then there's Argentina, India, Germany, Brazil, and UK, all of which are below 20%.
Yeah, and on we talked about how diversity is important to maximize potential of diversity in thinking, right? Grant Thornton's report also highlights that the increase in business without gender diversity in senior management comes at a time when companies face increasing levels of uncertainty.
Their research showed that men and women see risks and opportunities differently. The data revealed that women overall see lower levels of risk when considering aspects of organizational and commercial life, such as political or economic change, as well as lower levels of opportunity.
Yeah, and women are also less inclined than men, according to the survey, to take action in the face of an unforeseen risk that threatens their organization's commercial performance. This may sound negative here, but I'm taking it as a benefit, because women will not rush to label a situation as a risk and they mitigate it. Instead, you know, they will consider the context of it fully and respond in ways that recognize the wider environment and the impact that decision will have on people as well as the bottom line.
Yeah, plus 2017 is going to be filled with uncertainty, so diversity on the senior roles and can only help than harm any organization. Okay, let's move on to our next story. Bloom This received a funding from a Singaporean VC firm.
Yeah, this is more like a feel-good story. Yeah. You know, don't you just love feel-good stories when you're dealing with news and business every day? Feel-good stories are usually quite hard to come by. So when we get our hands on some good news, it feels like we should spread the word.
We should. So the good news news we're talking about is a Malaysian florist receiving a $600,000 seed funding to grow their business. Singaporean VC firm Repra is providing the funds to Bloom This Flora, who are targeting expansion in Southeast Asia.
Yeah, Bloom This was started by husband and wife team Gideon Lim and Penny Chu just a couple of years back in 2015, but has already experienced 1,200% growth in sales since a year ago. They're now being referred to as one of Malaysia's leading florists. The couple are targeting Singapore and Indonesia in its next expansion phase, but also plan to use the funds to upgrade Bloom This technology and build up its fast-growing flower delivery business into the wedding space.
Mm-hmm. And the announcement of the investment was done to coincide with IWD. And like we discussed earlier about women in Russia receiving flowers on IWD, Repra said that it felt this investment was an opportunity for people to express their love for women using flowers.
Mm. And what I understand is that Bloom This established itself as a leading online flower gifting brand through collaborations with some pretty big names. They've worked with and became a go-to florist for brands like SK2, Christian Dior, Benefit, The Body Shop, and other luxury consumer brands.
Yeah, and I guess this plus the 1,200% growth in sales must have impressed Repra, whose long-term plan is to invest in companies with the goal of setting up a conglomerate of businesses in Asia that will be leaders in their industries.
Mm, Repra, despite being a Singapore-based, was actually set up by Japanese entrepreneur Shuhei Morofuji. The firm has 14 direct subsidiaries, including two VC firms, and has invested in 40 startups across Southeast Asia in diversified industries, including agriculture, healthcare, education, hospitality, real estate, aerospace. You know, this is a wide range of it. Mm-hmm. And each subsidiary will run and develop individually with the goal of optimizing its market valuation at $2 billion within 10 years.
Mm-hmm. So watch out for the next phase of Bloom This. They've already wowed the Malaysian market with their unique artisan flower packages and flower gifting experience. So let's see what these funds do to take their offerings up a notch or two.
Mm. All right, we're going to take a short break and we'll be back with more stories on Facebook and Airbnb. Stay tuned on Enterprise Biz Bytes, BFM 89.9.
Boyish 40-something millionaires, BFM 89.9.
We're back on Enterprise Biz Bytes with Arvin and Angeline. So, in a very bizarre turn of events, Facebook has reported a handful of BBC journalists to local police after BBC flagged a bunch of child abuse material they found on the platform. So, Facebook has been criticized for its handling of reports about sexualized images of children on its platform for a while now, and many are doubting about the effectiveness of its content moderation system.
Mm-hmm. So just last year, BBC ran an investigation which led to the exposing of a large online network of pedophiles, which led to the arrest of at least one man. In the aftermath, Facebook said that the BBC's piece helped them to improve the platform's abuse report system. So the test, to test these claims, BBC used Facebook's dedicated report button to tip off the website about the existence of more than 100 images which violated the company's guidelines and terms of use.
Yeah. Yeah, the materials reported included pages explicitly for men with horrible intentions that I shall not mention here, mm-hmm. Images of under 16s, Facebook groups with names that are just too gross to say, containing stolen images of real children. So following BBC's warnings, Facebook only removed 18 from all reported images.
Mm-hmm. And this is where it gets a bit like weird, because when presented with the examples of the images in question, Facebook reported the BBC journalists involved the police and even cancel an interview that was arranged with Facebook's director of policy, Simon Milner. They then issued a statement saying it's against the law for anyone to distribute such images, which is really weird because these are the journalists who are trying to help Facebook.
Yeah, and at first, Facebook's automated reply said that the other 82 images did not breach community standards, as in quote, which really does make you wonder about the AI system reads these images and should be able to by now with today's technology to have better vetting system.
Mm-hmm. And some group members use acronyms to refer to their horrible activities. And while Facebook rules forbids convicted sex offenders from having accounts, the BBC found 5 convicted pedophiles with profiles and reported them to Facebook via its own system. And none of them were taken down.
Yeah, the National Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Children, or NPSCC, in the UK also voiced their concerns by saying it's appalling that Facebook have not been more proactive in removing illegal content from its website. They also question what content do Facebook consider to be inappropriate and dangerous to children. And no one knows, actually. Mm-hmm. Even more so now that the interview that was supposed to happen with BBC is canned.
Yeah, and Facebook later on provided with a statement saying that they have carefully reviewed the content and have now removed all the items that were illegal or against their standards. According to Facebook, all should be clear now, but it still begs the question, what is Facebook actually doing? There seems to be a lax mood about these things. One can only assume that Facebook were unwilling or certainly reluctant to engage in an interview or debate about why these images are available on their site at all.
Yeah, anyways, we'll still have to do our part. And if you have come across any content on Facebook that really shouldn't be on there, just please use the report button and ensure that proper follow-ups are being done. If you get an automatic message saying that it won't be taken down and there's nothing wrong, you can actually report it again and again. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's tedious, but honestly, the more people do this, the faster things can get cleaned up and the better it is for, you know, in the long term.
Yeah, so if everyone does it, it makes things more of a priority for Facebook to improve because it's a feature that's being used a lot. If nobody does it, Facebook will take some time to improve it. Hence why if you see so many UI changes over the past month and not so much on their content management system.
Yeah, and that's the news for Facebook and the BBC for today. And we'll be back after these messages more on AI, but this is Airbnb with Airbnb, and this is Enterprise Biz Bytes, BFM 89.9.
Before Friday materializes, BFM 89.9.
You're still listening to Angie and Arvin on Enterprise Biz Bytes. So here's an interesting story that you don't normally hear about. Airbnb is pledging to not replace humans with AI and robots anytime soon.
Yeah, so we normally hear people saying that they want to automate everything and make robots do all their work. And we see major companies rely more and more on artificial intelligence every day. So it's a bit weird when you hear about a company that is going against that trend and promising to always depend on humans and real people instead. But that's exactly what Airbnb is doing, as CEO Brian Chesky announced on his world tour to form a super team of hosts from around the world.
Yeah, and Airbnb wants to mold its host into a powerful organizing force, something like a union, to advocate on its behalf with local governments around the world and to serve as an ideological rebuke to AI in other tech firms. So this basically means that he wants to set up hosts and hubs around the world that can serve as a voice box for Airbnb in their respective countries. These hosts will provide feedback to the company and sit in on one of its four annual board meetings and do monthly check-ins with Airbnb users via Facebook Live.
Yeah, Brian actually changed his title to CEO and Head of Community, and he says that it's incredibly important because when they sit in a room trying to make decisions, they want to make sure that they're doing it for the community and not to the community. So right now, the plan is for Chesky to visit London, New York, Cape Town, Delhi and Beijing to meet with hosts over there for the next couple of weeks. And he also hinted that more changes are coming to improve customer service and host experience.
Okay, so let's look at this from a bird's eye point of view. Mm-hmm. Putting hosts front and center is part of Airbnb's business strategy. I mean, the company relies on people to list their homes for rent, so it's a very human-centric company. Mm-hmm. But it also hints that Airbnb's transition into political advocacy, just like Uber, Airbnb doesn't always get along with governments around the world.
Yeah, and Singapore proved this by shutting them down last month.
Exactly. And Airbnb has been criticized by politicians for its impact on the housing crisis in major cities, and even startup advisors picked at them for being caught flat-footed by regulators. Mm,
they've been trying to change that reputation, though. I mean, like, over the last 2 years, Airbnb has tried to shift those perceptions by taking a more active role in politics. Like, most recently, they responded to the Trump administration's policies on the immigration and transgender students. Airbnb is very vocal about that, and they made it clear that they didn't agree with the ban or his stance on the transgender stuff. But when you look at the bigger picture, although those Trump-inspired efforts made headlines, the bread and butter of Airbnb's political campaigning is still its host. So Chesky linked the Trump effect and Airbnb's homegrown efforts to rising economic insecurity.
Yeah, so coming back to AI, Chesky said that the president of the United States is an example of economic insecurity. He said he's concerned about the concept of automation because many jobs will be automated and this will have benefits for people, but it also has huge implications. He's also worried that made in America will become made by robots in America. He used this sentiment to assure hosts that tech will never replace what they do, although it might replace other jobs. He says that a robot can open a door and let you in a home, but it's not going to make you feel welcome. So with this, he stressed that everything at Airbnb will have people at the center of it. Everything they do will be powered not just by technology, but by people.
Yeah, but let's look at this, the whole thing objectively for a second. Airbnb can afford to say this because humans own homes and humans are going to be the host for a very, very long time. They are a very human-centric company and therefore they can afford to say no to robots and no to automation. And I also don't buy this whole statement, you know, the sentiment of robots not making you feel at home and more welcome than humans. I mean, I'm a huge advocate for that, you know, the human touch in everything instead of being fully mechanical. But there have been horror stories about Airbnb hosts and, you know, in a lot of cases, and robots could actually be a safer choice. Robots are predictable and, you know, at least for the time being. So if you gave me a choice, I'd actually pick a robot in terms of safety. But, you know, that's just me.
Yeah, but this is you. Even the last week you said you love robots in case they take over the world in the future. Very smart. And don't forget, right, this is also part of Airbnb's political strategy. I mean, they're driving users to advocate for the company with local politicians. And since 2014, more than 10,000 Airbnb users have contacted an elected official and more than 50,000 have signed petitions to support the company. It's an example of Airbnb's success in mobilizing its users as political advocates. And lawmakers know this because of Airbnb's popularity with their growing millennial constituencies.
Yeah, it's not a bad strategy at all. So you can't fault them for that. And Airbnb is a really good option for accommodation that has helped a lot of people travel for cheap. But yeah, on one side, it's nice to see a big company build a healthy community of engaged, vocal people and not jump on the AI bandwagon. But on the other side, you have to wonder if Chesky's opinions about automation and robots are just outdated and if it's, you know, just a matter of time before he has to jump on the bandwagon as well.
Yeah, and so with that, it's time to wrap up today's Enterprise Biz Bytes. So at the start of the show, we talked a bit about the origins of International Women's Day, which is today, March 8th. And then we moved into a story about how Malaysia has the least senior business roles held by women in ASEAN at a set 24%.
Yeah, not a good number, and we seriously have to do something to boost that figure. But we also had some good news. A Malaysian florist known as Bloom This just got a cash injection from Singaporean VC Repra for a nice $600,000. Kudos to them, and we wish we could give them a bouquet, but I guess they have you know, a lot of those already.
Yeah, and then we covered a very disturbing story on BBC reporting 100 images on Facebook that can be considered sexually abusive towards children. And apparently, Facebook's filter failed to find anything wrong with most of them. So Facebook also lodged a report against the journalists for reporting it in the first place. So I guess they didn't really fully understand what was going on. Basically, according to this report, their filters need some work and images like this circulating are just unacceptable.
Yeah, Facebook needs to fix its stuff. And lastly, we had a story on Airbnb saying that they will always be human-centric and not jump on the AI and robot bandwagon. CEO Brian Chesky said that robots will never replace their human hosts, and he's also going on a world tour to organize a strong host network around the planet. Coming up right after this is the Breakfast Grill repeat with Tan Sri Rafia Salim, president at Pertiwi, who holds the distinction as the first female vice chancellor of University Malaya. Melissa Idris spoke to Tan Sri Rafia on Pertiwi's efforts to advance the rights of women and children in the country and her views on the current protections for women's civil rights.
Anyways, that's happening next, and this has been Enterprise Biz Bytes. If you missed out on any information and need more details, check out the podcast that will be uploaded later, as we will have links to all the stories we talked about today. So you can get the podcast from bfm.my or just get the app, you know, download the BFM app on Apple or Android smartphone. And you're listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes and BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.